Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
We are doing a Mission Possible series this month, and it's been so awesome coming out of our Living on Purpose series, going into talking about habits and what does it look like to live on purpose in our daily habits. And now we're talking about Mission Possible. Who has seen the movie Mission Impossible? Anybody? All right, how was it? Should I go see it? Yes? Okay. All right. Yes, the newest one. And for anyone wondering, oh, are you trying to be like a hip church and do it with the movies? No, I actually didn't know that Mission Impossible was coming out this month when we decided to do the series. So we're not trying to be hip. God just must be speaking about Mission Possible in the world right now. But as always, I like to start with two very serious statements here. I recently lost my job at NASA Mission Control. I misheard someone say, it's lunchtime, and send a rocket up with nobody in it. It's launch time. What does an astronaut eat before a mission? Launch meat. Yes. All right, it can only go up from there. Thank God. All right, today is our third message in the series, and last week we talked about stopping for the one, which is capital O, right? Stopping for God in our daily lives, and then stopping for the one in front of us. And then the first week we talked about how God's mission is for Mondays, not just for Sundays, right? So today we're going to talk about being a witness. And who knows the song, Can I Get a Witness? Anybody? I heard the phrase, can I get a witness? And so I looked the song up. It's kind of a fun song. It has nothing to do with what I'm preaching today, but if you want to go listen to a fun old song, you can listen to it afterwards. We were not going to do that for worship time because it is not about that. But can I get a witness is what we're talking about today. So I wanted to mention a few fantastic resources that I have been enjoying and we've been enjoying throughout this month in this series. So I've done some studies by Craig Rochelle, the book Live on Mission. And Igniting Hope Ministries. So these are, I just want to honor a few of the resources that we've been enjoying in preparation for preaching. So the word mission means an important assignment, typically involving travel. And I just love this because we are on a long-term mission trip on the planet Earth, right? Whoever feels like you just want to go home, anybody? It's like, what is going on? Can I just get my ticket out? And God's like, there are no flights going out today. I am so sorry, right? But we are on a long-term mission trip. It says in Philippians 3:20, but we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Savior. You know, sometimes we talk about Jesus dying and Jesus coming so much, and we should always do that, that we forget he's coming back. Isn't that exciting? He's coming back. And I'm not here to talk about end time theology right now. I'm just excited he's coming back. Can we just all agree on that? Let's just have unity on that. That's what matters. He's coming back and I want to be with him. Anybody with me? And I love the prayer of Matthew 6:10, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Just like that prayer in our missions video to one of the ministries that we support as an outreach initiative from our church when you give, A21. That was actually Christine Kane, who I actually got to be part of a leadership course with, and she's just an amazing woman of God. But the whole point is that we want to see Jesus coming back. We want to see heaven on earth, right? And that's not some ethereal, abstract thought. Heaven is practical when it gets lived out. Jesus was a very practical Savior, right? He talked in parables, but he was a carpenter. And what I always love is, we always think, you know, have you ever heard of, well, I got to go to my job, my secular job. How do I live out my faith in the secular world? Anyone ever said that? But how many know if Jesus was a carpenter, that tells me he couldn't do anything secular. What does that mean? That means your 9-to-5 isn't secular because his 9-to-5 wasn't, right? He's the Savior of the world. When he worked 9-to-5, it wasn't secular. And so God wants to redeem everything. Amen? All right. Well, I heard this awesome metaphor by a singer named Torrin Wells. And I don't know, has anyone enjoyed his music? He's got some great songs out there, very upbeat. And I heard this metaphor this week on a guitar, and my husband brought his electric guitar in, and I'm not going to touch it because I'm not an electric guitar type of person. I am a violin type of person. So if you knew me years ago, I used to play the violin classically, and maybe some of you used to like it when I played on the worship team. It has been a while. I actually injured my shoulder, which is why I don't play classically anymore. But I want to talk about a metaphor with missions and the violin. I know some people are literally looking like this at me. So stay here with me. We're gonna dive into the word in just a second. So when we have a violin, let's see, this could be challenging. We have the violin, right? Who here, does anyone play the violin? Anybody? Okay, we've got a little bit of, okay. All right, Jesus, bring the violinist in. All right, who has ever heard a violin in worship? Anyone ever heard a string quartet play? Oh my goodness. I get that there's power, you know, some people like the electric guitar and all that. I am more of a big choir and a string quartet orchestra type of girl. It sounds so powerful when it's just like voices. It's like heavenly voices singing. And so I love the diversity in music that we sometimes play here, but we have yet to have an orchestra. I don't think they would fit, but that would be cool. But here's a violin. So we've got the head of the violin. We've got strings. And we've got the body of the violin, all right? Now, it's very important. The head is where you tune the strings, okay? So you tune these, and this is how you tune it. And then you connect it to the body here, and this is how you get sound. Because without this body that's hollow, there would be no sound. In fact, I have an electric violin that's a 5-string. It's a really cool violin. It has no body that's hollow. And so when you play it, there's no sound because you have to plug it in, right? And so the body is very important. It helps us get the sound out. But if I were just to bring strings, would the strings be able to make a lot of beautiful noise if I just held up strings here today? It really wouldn't do much, would it? I mean, maybe they're nice looking. They're actually kind of hard on the fingers. So it would do nothing. So without being connected to the body and without being connected to the head, there is no sound. And that's like some of our lives, and that's why we're going to be talking about it today. Your worship, your relationships, your workplace, the entire world is straining to hear the sound of salvation. But we won't make any sound if we aren't connected to the head and we aren't connected to the body. All right, so let's unpack this, and then I'm going to try and play something at the end, and you're going to have to give me a lot of grace because it has been several years. All right, so our theme verse here is Romans 8:19. For creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. That word expectation means strained expectancy. So all of creation has strained expectancy. When I was looking at those root words, it literally meant head and straining. What is that? Someone's ever talking to you and you put your ear out like, I can't quite hear it. That's what the world is doing. They're saying, hey, we can't quite hear the sound of the children of God. And we're straining to hear it. Psalm 118 says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. The sound, get this, get what that word sound means, witness. The sound or the witness of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. Now that word salvation is Yeshua, which we know, if you've been to Israel at all, means Jesus. So the sound or the witness of Jesus. And that word tents also means home. So the world is straining for the sound of Jesus, the witness of Jesus coming from our homes. Isn't that powerful? I love looking at the root words because it just unpacks a whole richness to the scripture. So the whole world is straining to hear this witness. But it can't happen unless we're connected to the head and to the body. So some of us this morning are connected to the head only. So that might mean that we're deep in one-on-one time with God and we love to learn a ton of biblical head knowledge, which is fantastic to get it in you, right? But you float from church to church and have vision, but you don't serve or you don't use your giftings anywhere. And you really aren't able to let out that sound of salvation. In fact, you can't hold a tune to save your life. All right, the second one is maybe some of us are connected to the body more. So we go to church, Everyone remember that, all right? We go to church, but we don't spend any time with God personally Monday through Friday. We aren't living in everyday revival. We're not reading our Bible. We're not praying. We're not walking out those red letters when no one's watching. And again, you can't hold a tune to save anybody's life. What happens is when we find ourselves in either of those places, we try to play Amazing Grace through our lives. How many have their own Amazing Grace, right? Their own version of it. If you're saved, you've got your own Amazing Grace. And some of us are trying to play that in our lives, but we're wondering, why does it sound so out of tune? Or why can nobody hear it at all? Have you ever heard an out-of-tune violin? God bless you. You have been saved. I know saved from death is the ultimate save, but saved from an out-of-tune violin is pretty close. It's so bad. I remember practicing. I've been playing since I was five. I remember practicing when I was young, and my cats would just go running. They just take off across the house. I hate to say it, but some of y'all in your relationships, in your workplace, in your attitudes, they're people, they're going running. Because some of us are playing some out-of-tune Amazing Graces in our lives. And we're causing more upheaval than we're causing peace and beautiful sound, a beautiful witness, the sound of salvation, the sound of Jesus in our lives. Amen? How many know the world does not need to hear another song like that? Forget the world. How about your friends, your family, your workplace, right? So Psalm 118, the sound of joyful shouting, the witness of salvation is in the homes of the righteous, if you look at those root words. So let's unpack this. All right, stay with me here. Number one, connected to the head. So the world is straining to hear the witness of Jesus in your life, but they are not going to hear it unless you are connected to God in your daily life. And I like this scripture in Colossians 2:19. It says, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments, grow as God causes it to grow. So that word thrive, you know, when we made the name Thrive, we had a little bit of concern because we didn't want people to think, oh, Thrive, we're just trying to get you to prosper in life. What it actually means is grow and mature. And so when we say you're born to thrive, we're not just saying you're born to have a good life or something. Check out the Bible on that, because some people died for Christ, right? So, I mean, it depends on your definition of good. But what we're saying is you were born to grow in Jesus. You were born to mature and have a mature faith. And that can only happen when we're connected to the head, like it says in Colossians 2. I'm going to just be reading, you know, sometimes we'll read more of a story in the Bible and unpack it. Today, I've just got a lot of scriptures, so just get washed by the word today. John 15:5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. So being attached to the vine means that I'm going to play in tune notes. So when life comes throwing at me, I'm not going to whip out and play some horrible sound. Who's ever done that? It's called reacting, right? No one ever here has reacted, right? Someone comes up to you and says something and you just snap back, right? It's the worst. And sometimes I've had to go apologize later because I'm like, oh no, I did it, right? I was out of tune in the moment. Why? Because I disconnected from the vine. This past week, Pastor Brian and I got to go to Maine to a pastor's retreat with other Northeast pastors. And it was really amazing because one of the pastors runs a greenhouse and he was actually talking about this verse. And I'd already prepped this before, so I knew it was God. He actually used to prune. And I don't know, maybe who's ever worked with pruning? Anybody? Okay, so yes, everybody on this side. So everybody on this side, take gardening lessons from this side. There we go. That'll be after church over coffee. I am not a gardener. If you've been here at all, you know that, right? My husband literally has Italian relatives that were royal gardeners. That is not my lineage, right? We're German sauerkraut. But here we go. So pruning, this is amazing. Pruning. When you prune, you actually prune. Now, maybe it depends on the plant, because I'm preaching to gardeners here. But this man, the greenhouse guy, he said that when you prune, you can prune all the way back to just an inch off the vine. Isn't that amazing? So the difference between being dead, right? Who's ever gone through a trial and you're like, I don't think I'm going to make it out alive, right? Yes. And so that's an inch. So a pruning, it says that God will actually prune us so that we can grow, so we can be effective, so we can continue to remain in the vine. Because apart from God, we can do nothing. And so it's just an inch That's the only difference. So sometimes I just want to speak encouragement. If you feel like you used to be 6 foot long, because that's how long the branches are before they cut it all the way back down to an inch. You might be in an inch season. Hey, stay in the vine. Stay connected to the head, because that's how we thrive. That's how we grow. Amen? I love this version of Galatians 5:22. It's a little bit more of a expanded version. But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Isn't that incredible? That's what it means to stay connected to the head. If you find yourself reacting and responding to life in ways that go against what that says, that's not a time to self-condemn or work harder. It's a time to abide in the vine. To connect to the head, to say, God, tune my heart to you, because I'm out of tune here. I'm out of tune in my marriage. I'm out of tune in my finances. I'm out of tune in whatever it is. Tune my heart to you so I can produce Holy Spirit fruit. It's not rocket science. God literally says, this is what you will produce when you are abiding. So if you're not producing it, it's time to abide. Are you following with me? I heard this analogy. Being a witness and living out God's mission without daily letting God's truth set you free and abiding in the vine is like bungee jumping without an anchor point. You're like, yes, we, right? Have you ever done that in a situation? You're like, I have all the courage. Let's go, let's go. And then you're gone. And it's the end of the day and you're like, what even happened? I had all these great ideas, these goals, and I was just gone. I was gone. Anybody have one of those? Kind of like the sound in the computer this morning. They were like, we, right? We're just gone, right? And God doesn't need us. God didn't die on the cross for us to just bungee jump out without an anchor point. He says he is our anchor, just like we were singing this morning. You are our anchor. I love this quote by Charles Spurgeon. He puts it this way. Without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are as ships without wind. So it's like being a sailboat and you're like, look at me. I'm all great. I know my purpose. I've got my habits. And then you just sit there because you aren't connected to the head. And so all the purpose we've talked about this last few months, all the habits, it's all nothing without abiding in the vine in our daily lives. And the last thing this world needs are more people aimlessly drifting in the seas of life. Nobody needs that right now. Your workplace doesn't need it. Your home life doesn't need it. And sometimes we wake up and we just feel like we're drifting and aimless on the seas of life. And a storm comes up and we go this way or that way. And, you know, we aren't actually looking at our life intentionally. We're just letting it go. And God says, I want to blow on the ship. I want to direct your path. Abide in me. Amen. Jesus is our great reward. Jesus is where we start. He is where we are sustained, and he is where we are finished. When we talk about missions, we have to remember we stop for the one. We abide in the vine. We are connected to the head. I love this because Jesus is so simple, young children can receive him, and yet so rich that wise theologians can spend their entire life unpacking him and not even touch who he is. Isn't that amazing? That's why we can have a little kid up here, and then we can have someone much more older and mature, because we all get to interact with different parts of who God is. But I also love this truth. Spending time with Jesus is not in order to get something greater. We don't go to Jesus so that we can, right? So that we can have a ministry, so that we can impact the world. Going to Jesus is the ministry. Being with Jesus is the mission. Worship is not the appetizer. Worship is the whole thing. In fact, I hope we're still worshiping right now. We might not be making a joyful noise right now. But worship and spending time with Jesus is the ministry. Abiding in the vine is not so that we can grow. We will grow. But man, if I never grew and I just stayed with Jesus. There's this song that says, Die, Die, Heinu, and the Jewish people sing it at Passover, and it means it would have been enough. So it's like, had God just parted the sea for Moses to go through, die, hey, nu, and you sing this over matzah and grape juice or wine or whatever you're doing, and they sing it for a very long time. There are many, many, many verses. If you are a child at Passover, it goes on forever. But you start to realize it would have been enough. If all I could do was just abide in the vine, if all we did was just worship for another moment, it would have been enough. I hope you can get that this morning. The greatest gift we can give the world is a close relationship with God. The greatest gift we can give the world is a close relationship with God. And a few people in the Bible, many, prove that, right? Nehemiah, he was so connected to God, his witness was a city wall rebuilt. Esther had so much faith in God, her witness was a saved people group. Paul, when he got in relationship with God, his witness, his sound, was a murderer turned to missionary. What does your witness sound like? What's the sound coming out of your life when you're connected to the head? So some mission possibles that tune us to the Father's heart. Forgive daily, Luke 17. Talk with God and listen daily, 1 Thessalonians 6:16. Get into the Word with the Holy Spirit, Matthew 4:4, and then do what the Word says, right? James 1:22. There we go. So I don't want to just talk ethereal, like stay connected to God. This is an incredibly practical, supernatural gospel. So if you're wondering, well, how do I stay connected to God? Forgive daily, talk with him, listen, get in the Word, and do what the Word says. And you will find you start to bear some fruit that you didn't think possible. You never have truly found Jesus if you do not tell others about him. Charles Spurgeon. That's a good word. That word convicts. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, I think I need to find Jesus right now. Because I don't have enough courage to go say God loves you or just pray for that person or whatever, or even smile at them. Maybe you don't even have courage to smile at someone. Sometimes it's one of those days and it's like, you know what? I need to find Jesus again. I just need to come home to him right now in this moment, because when I do, I realize there is a witness that needs to get out. Amen. Number two, we're going to just scoot through this second point. Connected to the body. The world is straining to hear the witness of Jesus in your life, but they aren't going to hear amazing grace if we aren't connected to the body. 1 Corinthians says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part in it. So remember the difference between impossible and possible? I am, right? I am possible. So here's where reality hits. I hate to say this, but are you going to get in the way, or are you going to humble yourself in relationship and community, right? It's the difference between mission possible and mission impossible in the body of Christ. Most people don't leave the church, they leave people, right? But I figure if Jesus died for imperfect people, certainly we can serve them, right? So who here loves to go to church? Anybody like to go to church? Awesome, all right. You don't have to raise your hand, I used to dance, so. Hands goes up. But what if I told you to stop going to church? I know this is like the best thing that a pastor could ever say. And some of you are like, should we go, honey? I don't know, right? But what if I told you stop going to church? In fact, going to church could be one of the worst things you're doing. All right, hang with me, don't leave, and do not quote me out of context. All right. Some of us go to church like we're going to the game or we're going to the movies. And you know what? This morning I was thinking, some of us even treat it like we're going to a resort, right? Let's escape reality. Now, how many know sometimes life seasons, you're just happy if you got to church. If that's where you are this morning, praise God, it's okay, right? But if the church is a destination, you'll start to see God's house is outside of you. His mission on earth is like an obligation you clock in and out of. His presence is like a step-parent's home you only visit on the weekends. His gifts are just what you try to get to if you're good, and you reduce Christianity. This was a quote from the book Live on Mission. We reduce Christianity to karma with a splash of Jesus. And we ultimately discount the sacrifice of Jesus. How many know I don't want to get to my life and look back and be like, ooh, I didn't want a splash of Jesus. In fact, Jesus was worth the whole thing, and I only got a splash. Wouldn't that be awful? If the strings on an instrument are not connected to the body, it's going to sound horrible, right? It's just not, it's going to sound empty. It's not going to make any amplification. The strings cannot play a song unless they're connected to the head and the body. A seed cannot grow when you dip them in soil. They have to be planted in soil. Have you ever tried to plant something and you're like, I got the seed, I'm going to put it in on Sunday, and I'm going to take it out. And I'm going to put it back into the dirt, and I'm going to take it out. How deep are those roots going to grow, right? No, but I'm putting it in. I'm even watering it a ton. And then I'm going to take it out. I'm going to carry it with me Monday through Friday. I'm going to put it back in, right? No, nothing's going to grow. It says in Psalm 92, the righteous man will flourish, which means sprout, like the palm tree, and he will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The cedars in Lebanon, have you ever looked that up? Just look it up, all right? I'm not even going to talk about it, but just Google the cedars in Lebanon. It's amazing. Planted in the house of the Lord. That word house means household. And they will flourish in the courts of God. And guess what word it says? They will still thrive in old age. What does that mean? It means they'll have abundant life in old age, but they're going to grow in old age. One of the most beautiful things that I have witnessed, I hope Pastor Tom's okay with me saying this, but one of the most beautiful things that I've witnessed in Pastor Tom and Jordy is how much they still grow as they mature. And it is Pastor Jordy's birthday tomorrow, so you can wish her a happy birthday tomorrow. But one of the greatest legacies of their leadership in this church is that no matter what age you are, you can still grow. You know, he became lead pastor, I don't know what it was, age 60 or 62 or something like that. And I'll meet people and they're like, well, I'm in my 60s. I guess, I don't know, I missed the call or I missed this. I'm like, are you kidding me? Pastor Tom had an entire second round here in ministry. You can still thrive in old age when you are planted in the household of the Lord. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. What I love is that word planted in the house of the Lord means to transplant. How many know we've all been transplanted? It says in Colossians 1, God transplanted us, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. Some of us, if you've ever transplanted a plant, my husband and I have a cabbage and a broccoli. We need prayer, fasting, and intercession for the next 3 months. I'm pretty sure it may already be dead, but it's in this big container outside because we're too lazy to like put it in the ground with the weed. I mean, we're not too lazy. We're here. We're doing things in the church together, right? Let me tell you, these things look really sad already, but his parents, they have a raised bed garden and they might as well feed like the entire town of Dryden. They have so many good things and we just usually go over and eat them, but they decided to support our endeavor. So we have this cabbage and this broccoli. And let me tell you, when I transplanted them, they are sad transplanted, right? It takes a minute to adjust. Anyone ever feel like you got transplanted from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light and you're like, huh, I'm adjusting to a new climate. I'm adjusting to a new environment. Anybody? Right? It takes the time to adjust to what it actually means to walk in salvation. Doesn't mean you're failing or messing up. It's a new climate. It's a new environment. There's better soil. There's more nutrients. You don't have to just survive on the little tiny like pocket of dirt. You got a whole garden now to grow and dig deep, right? And planted in the house of the Lord. So some of us need to stop going to church and start being planted in church. Be planted in church. You know, those strings on the body, they're actually coiled around and they're tightly attached to the body. And when you loosen it, actually the whole violin gets out of tune. And so some of us need to say, no, I'm going to plant myself here. I'm going to plant myself in the kingdom of God. So I'm just going to close here with the one another mission possible statements. There are a lot of these. If you want a list, man, this is a good list to live by. Maybe put it up like, you know, the Hobby Lobby things in your kitchen, because there are a lot here to meditate on. Love one another, John 13. Show affection and honor to one another, Romans 12. Outdo one another in showing honor, Romans 12. Accept one another, Romans 15. Serve through love one another, Galatians 5. Carry one another's burdens, Galatians 6. Be kind and compassionate, Ephesians 4. Encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 4. Confess your sins and pray for one another, James 5. Be hospitable to one another, 1 Peter 4. And clothe yourself with humility to one another, 1 Peter 5:5. Man, I think you could take your entire life and just spend it on that. And you know what I like to say is, if Jesus said something like, you're going to need to do this, like you're going to need to love one another, I don't know why it comes as a surprise that sometimes we don't want to. I don't want to clothe myself in humility sometimes. I don't want to be hospitable sometimes, right? Or carry another one's burdens. But these are actually the mission possible statements of God. He said, if you want to be connected to the body, you're going to have to live out some mission possibles. You're going to have to live this out. So why don't you stand on your feet as we close here? God isn't putting these on our to-do list. He's actually saying, this is how you mature. This is how you stay connected to the body. A violin is beautiful, but it's only beautiful until you actually play it and you hear the sound and you live connected to the head and the body. You know, we can live out missions we never thought possible when we're connected to God in our daily lives and we're connected to the body. There are things that are only possible, for example, like A21 or our food ministry that we do every month, or even Thrive Night when youth group happens twice a month and we get into discipleship. There are all these things that can only happen through community. But we also need to be connected to the head in our daily lives. One of my favorite stories is I got to play my violin when I was playing more in outside a thatched hut in Malawi. And we go out there and we bump along, and then there are all these kids and adults, and they're all sitting on the ground. It's all dusty and it's extraordinarily hot. And the only time I have a traumatizing bathroom experience was right next to the hut, but we won't talk about that. There was a little hole in the ground. But anyway, I got my violin out. It was this very violin. And I got to play for them. And I thought, I must look like an alien playing this violin. Like, why? Like, what are we doing? You know, we did a lot of humanitarian work, if you're wondering, as well. And this is with our church plant in Malawi. So the amazing thing was we were there because we were connected to the body, because the only way we got there was through generosity, right? We all partnered together. Not all of us got to go, but we all got to make it happen, right? We all lived on mission together. And then connected to the head, because as I played, I got to play over the orphans, and I got to play over the widows, and I got to play over these families and these broken families and the hungry, and the hungry not just for food, but for God. And the power of God fell, and it was one of the most beautiful times of worship I've ever had, because there was no lights. There was nothing that could glitch. There was no AC, but it didn't matter, because it was just Jesus, and we were connected. And the sound of amazing grace and the witness of salvation was going out across the nations. That's what happens in our daily lives. That's what happens. I just want to invite you to receive Jesus. I just bless every part of your heart that feels disconnected from God to connect to him. Every part that feels unworthy, unwanted, rejected. Maybe you've been stumbling some. And Jesus just wants to say, welcome home. Connect to me. Let's make a sound of salvation together in your life. And then the body, maybe some of us are like, you know what? It's time that I actually plant myself. I don't want to keep running. I don't want to keep running from something or trying to hide from something. I want to be planted like a cedar in Lebanon that can grow for hundreds of years, because I want to let that sound of salvation out through my life, through my family, whatever season of life you're in.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.